What is up, freaks? Welcome back to this week's edition of Rabbit Hole Recap. It is Friday, February 8th, 2019, the year of our Lord. The Bitcoin price on the XBX index is $3,629. Bit of a pump today, freaks. Exciting Friday here at Bitcoin markets. It's been dull for a while, but it's been a crazy week. Big come up week for the pod, for this crew right here. But before we get into all the topics that we have to talk about, I'd like to introduce you to the sponsor that we know very well by now, BlockFi. Hodlers all have one thing in common. They hate selling their crypto, especially if it's for paying taxes. The best way to use your crypto without having to sell is with BlockFi. Use your Bitcoin, Ether, or Litecoin to get USD funded directly to your bank account and get your crypto back at the end of the loan. The best part is the interest you pay on the loan can be deducted from your taxes. Again, freaks, the interest you pay on your loan can be deducted from your taxes, saving you money and the headache of dealing with tax debt. Visit BlockFi.com/TalesFromTheCrypt to learn more about using your crypto without having to sell today. Save on those taxes, freaks. Every Satoshi that you can. Matthew, speaking of Satoshis, you handed some off this week. Probably the biggest news item of the week. You were involved in it.
Pretty fucking badass.
Yeah, dude. So for you freaks that were living under a rock all week, Matt, when was this? Tuesday? Wednesday?
2 days ago?
2 days ago.
Was it?
I don't know. It's been a blur.
Feels like years.
Yeah. So you were holding the torch, the Lightning Network torch that's been passed around. We explained it last week with Murad. I believe we did. Did we?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did. I actually explained that on the Heavily Armored Clowns podcast that I was on. But yeah, so the Lightning Torch, for you freaks that listen to this podcast and have not heard yet, it's basically an experiment to play around with Lightning Network and sort of stress test the network, where it started with HODLNOT on Twitter. You started with, what, 100,000 Satoshis?
Yeah, $3.
$3, and then every time, you know, so then you find somebody that you trust, you pass the proverbial torch on, and you add 10,000 Satoshis.
Like 30 cents.
Yeah. And then you keep passing it on to people you trust. It eventually ended up in your hands, and shot.
When I got it, it was 2.85 million Satoshis.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like $96, something like that.
You got it.
That's pretty high for a Lightning payment right now. We're really stress testing the network with how large the payments are.
Yeah, when I had it, I think I got it like 2 or 3 days before you. Mine was at like $90, and it was like, yeah. I not gonna lie, I had to try a couple times to send it through.
Yeah, if you don't have like channel liquidity, then you're not gonna be able to do it unless you use like a custodial wallet. But we didn't want to use custodial wallets, you know.
No, yeah, I was going with my Casa node, but enough about me, dude. You shot your shot.
So what started it all was after we had Murad on the pod, he released that horrible thread where he was talking about how like Bitcoin tweets were at an all-time low. They were below 2015 levels, right?
Yeah.
And there's no way they're below 2015 levels. Like back in 2015, like shit was a ghost town. It was like absolutely, you know, Vitalik was getting like 12 likes on his tweets or something. You know, like it was not even fucking close. And the first thing I did was I just tweeted at him Bitcoin, right? And everyone went crazy. And people were all just posting Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin all over the place. Let's juice the stats. Looked at the graph. There was like barely any movement. It's like, what's going on here? There's barely any movement. So then someone tagged me in the trust chain. They were like, Matt, you haven't taken it yet. Will you take it? And I was like, okay, I'm going to take this thing and I'm definitely going to send it to like the highest profile person that will accept it from me, right? Like, let's absolutely juice the Bitcoin metrics. And after I finally got it, the guy who sent it to me, you know, like we were saying, you need liquidity and stuff. So it took a couple tries or whatever. After I got it, I settled on Jack. It seemed like the perfect fit. You know, he's an investor in Lightning Labs. Cash App has Bitcoin. He's active on Twitter. He's the CEO of Twitter, you know?
Yeah, pretty involved.
So it was like literally the perfect, it was like a high enough reach where it was like a game changer. It was like a really good Bitcoin advertisement, basically, like a viral Bitcoin advertisement, but not too far out of reach that he wouldn't take it.
Yeah. And he took it.
It was so fucking dope. And he posted that, the invoice, it was just,
dude, I was
absolutely, people were giving me so much shit. They were like, Matt, you're stealing it. Like, come on, guys. Like, I'm not stealing $100. Like, you shouldn't trust me, but, like, have a little faith. I'm not going to steal the $100 that you guys sent me.
What did it feel like when you were sending him the transaction? Were you nervous at all?
Well, when I was sending it, it was really fucking nerve-wracking. Imagine if it failed. That would have just been, oh, Jack, can you resend an invoice? Can you send me a new invoice?
Yeah, that would have been a bad look.
Yeah, so when it actually like turned green and zap and was like, it's sent, I was just overjoyed. It was fantastic. And then the mentions just blew up and I just turned off Twitter. I was just like super excited. We, you know, opened a bottle of scotch.
Yeah.
And just.
So that was.
Just soaked it all in and just fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for inciting what turned out to be a night of Twitter joy for Bitcoin Maximalist.
Oh, yeah. Then you just went off. It was great.
Jack just went off. And it, I don't want to say like a night for Bitcoin Maximalist. I just think it was good for anybody who thinks there's a lack of principled stances out there on Bitcoin in particular, especially from high profile people like Jack. So it was just refreshing from my perspective to see somebody of his stature and with so much skin in the game to come out and like have a principled stance on Bitcoin and saying, hey, like I actually think this has the best chance and arguing it with sort of good theory, like basically talking about Bitcoin's resiliency and the amount of attacks it's sort of survived up to this point. It was just refreshing to see.
Everyone should be happy about it, not just Maxis. You know, even if you're a multi-coiner, you should be happy about it. You know, yeah. Everyone is saying, the masses are saying Bitcoin is dead, crypto is dead. And here you have a major player in technology and global markets endorsing it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Putting his name on it, reaffirming his belief in it. And we're in the middle of a bear market. Like, enjoy yourself. It's a nice little community building thing we had where we all just got to, you know, take a day off and like have a good time. And like, I'm not a huge fan of Jack's moves that have been made on Twitter with censorship and banning people and whatnot. And I think a lot of why is they're shooting themselves in the foot. And I think they have a lot of good paths to monetization if they do like Lightning Custodial or something. And I'm sure I'll end up giving them shit about it because the wallet will be custodial. But I think overall, this is a net benefit. He's not going to be able to co-opt Bitcoin or do anything bad to Bitcoin. So just enjoy the additional publicity. Like what we spent like 34 cents a person.
Yeah.
For 140 people. And we got probably better engagement than a Super Bowl ad would have gotten us on Sunday, right?
Wow, that's a very good point, dude.
Yeah.
That is a very good point. Wow, I'm happy to say I contributed to that, though.
We basically did, like, it was like a Tron-level, you know, like, Pornhub partnership, but we just did it organically, like, the Bitcoin way. And, like, props out to HODLNOT for starting it all.
Yeah,
and everyone
shout out
who passed it on.
Speaking of HODLNOT, open invite to come on TFTC if you're ever in town. Let us know. We'd love to talk to you. No, but again, it was something organic, and it was like a refreshing shot in the arm during the depths of this bear market. It's like, all right, like seeing Jack like play with this is like, all right, now obviously it signals to other people in the industry and throughout the world, like, all right, maybe this is something that we should be paying more attention to. And he was even like alluding to like answering people's tweets that were saying, hey, did you make the character count up to 280 so you could send Lightning invoices? And he was like, maybe. I don't know, man. So like you can tell he's definitely open to applying this stuff to his businesses, obviously with cash, but via the posturing after he got the torch and handed it off, it seems like it maybe sparked some ideas in his head as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of paths for his two businesses, you know, Square and Twitter to leverage Bitcoin and Lightning.
Obviously, full disclosure, Cash App has been a sponsor of this ad and potentially will be in the future. So,
and we shill the shit out of them all the time.
Yeah.
So keep that in
pretty
mind.
Pretty hard shills.
That's why I thought Jack was a good fit as well.
Yeah.
And like Lightning tips, just Lightning tips on Bitcoin, on Twitter. Just super easy use case. They take 1% off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have trouble monetizing. It's a perfect fit for them.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for inciting some madness this week. I'm proud of you.
I'm just glad I could give back to all you guys out there. This is fun.
You know what? You're just doing your part, man.
I'm in such a good mood right now. I got my scotch. I got Marty here. Bitcoin's pumping. It's like spring outside. It's like super
it's
nice
weather.
It's
so nice out, dude.
I was like popping on the walk here, you know?
I wore my parka to go get lunch. I started sweating. It's good. And then I ate my lunch and I started sweating too because I'm a fat piece of shit. That's a story for another podcast. So again, thank you. Crazy week. We'll see. We'll see what Jack, Twitter, and Square and Cash do with Bitcoin. It'll be crazy to see if they implement that in Square in particular and Twitter in particular. Imagine having the biggest POS system and communication tool in the country become Bitcoin and Lightning compatible. That would open up the doors to hundreds of millions of people, potentially billions. Next one. Next topic. Holy shit. This data that came out today, this dude.
Should we tell them that it looks like you're gonna interview Jack? That's a big deal too.
It is, yeah. I didn't want to jinx it because I don't have the confirmation.
Yeah, it's like
email
tentatively
yet.
Confirmed, March 1st, hopefully.
Tentatively confirmed. I'll be flying out to San Fran to sit down with Jack, 30 minutes of his time to discuss this stuff. So very, very honored, flattered. I wanted it to be longer than 30 minutes because I wanted you to be there and tag team it, but. Matt and I talked about it. We think tag teaming a 30-minute interview maybe a bit ambitious.
It's a little aggressive.
Yeah.
We'll just have to do that next time.
Yeah. It'll be the first interview of many, hopefully. Hopefully we become friends. Hoping we did, Jack. So that's on the horizon. But enough about that episode. Local Bitcoins volume. We've been talking about it a lot. I've been talking about it a lot in the Bent recently, particularly like Venezuelan and Russian Bitcoin denominated volume on local bitcoins, it's definitely been rising, and I've just been surmising that hey, this is like a good sign that that like Bitcoin is actually being used by the people that need it most. And then this dude, I'm trying to find his name right now, Matt Agrol, is that correct? Where's my excuse me.
Yeah, it's Matt.
Matt Alborg. Excuse me. Matt Alborg. Literally came out of nowhere. I didn't even know this dude was on Twitter or doing data analysis of Bitcoin stuff. Just dropped an incredible analysis of local Bitcoin's data on everybody's head today and basically came out with a new metric that attempts to basically index countries and separate index countries by how much Bitcoin's being like, how much utility Bitcoin is providing based on a GDP per capita and access to the internet sort of basis. So it sort of tries to show where Bitcoin is shining, where it may be needed more. And it proved that over time, over the last 6 years at least, that Bitcoin, this metric that he used, like Bitcoin volume and...
It's like an adjusted per capita, basically.
Yeah, so...
Right? Because the main thing is like population that has access to the internet, right?
Yeah, the metric's called usage per online economic person.
Right, so it's adjusted per capita with internet included, right?
Yeah, so it looks basically, I guess, tries to line up like the number of IP addresses with the amount of citizens and then use that to sort of derive an internet freedom index. And then,
is that what he said? He's using the IP addresses? I'm assuming he's using like Factbook or something.
IP equals internet penetration of a given country.
Yeah, he's probably just using like survey percentages or something from some source.
Yeah. So basically, go check it out. We'll obviously link in the show notes, but he's got an interactive map where you can like scroll through and you can like just visually see Bitcoin spreading in these countries that are going through some strife right now, particularly Venezuela. Countries in the Soviet bloc,
Russia, yeah,
and in Africa too, in Central Africa as well. So it's basically proving that Bitcoin is working as intended for the people that need it most, as we've been trying to allude to here, but haven't had sort of concrete data to point to. And it seems like Matt may have provided that for us.
Not this Matt, but the other Matt.
Yeah, the other Matt.
And he's also got a dope just normal line graph in there that just shows the spike. Not that one, the other one. It just shows the volume spike. It just goes up like crazy amounts.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Well, all the Western world is trending downwards, and the only three, I shouldn't say the whole Western world, but the the two main upwards trending areas are non-Europe, Eastern Europe, non-EU, Eastern Europe, excuse me, and South and Central America, overwhelmingly, while the majority of the Western world is sort of trending down. And another interesting stat from this essay in particular is that the last quarter of 2018, when prices are obviously in the depths of the bear market and at their lowest point in a while, 23 countries on local Bitcoin had their best quarters ever. So like highest volume.
During, to be fair, like some of them had like,
yeah, like
$250.
Maldives had $162 worth of volume. But
Venezuela had their highest volume quarter ever.
Yeah, we'll go above a million, which was 6 countries. Venezuela have $81.2 million in volume
this quarter.
Fourth quarter of 2018,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And we also must note that like that's only the reported volume on local Bitcoins.
Local
like people
Bitcoins.
Make relationships with these people that they meet and exchange Bitcoin with, and they become comfortable with them. It's probably most likely that they'll cut local Bitcoins out at some point and just do it on the side.
I was listening to a theory on Peter McCormick's pod. He just had a Venezuela episode out.
I had that on the docket. I haven't listened to it yet.
Shout out
Alejandro Machado, TFTC alum.
Yeah, he was on it. And I don't remember their other names. I wish I remember their names. But one of them dropped a theory that the Venezuelan government, he thinks the Venezuelan government are, they're taking, when they print money, they're taking it and they're putting it in the Bitcoin market. That's why it's, I think he said it's trading at a 40% premium over the dollar in Venezuela.
Wait, so it's trading at like
a 40% premium,
so it's trading
over
near like
what,
five
the
grand?
USD prices everywhere else.
It's trading near $5,000 right now in Venezuela?
Yeah, that's what he said on the pod. And that he thinks the reason for the premium is because the Venezuelan government is like taking the newly printed money, or like at least corrupt officials in the government is taking the newly printed money and they're just immediately converting it into hard money, Bitcoin. And that's why the premium exists.
Since I haven't listened to the episode yet, did they speak to like the average Venezuelan citizen using Bitcoin? Was it, do you think it was,
it's both.
Yeah.
But, if you're talking in absolute numbers, like it's probably more corrupt politicians.
Yeah.
Just because they're richer.
Yeah. No, so that's, I mean, very interesting story.
I mean, that was the other thing I tried to do with Lightning, this, with the exposure that was happening. I was thinking, what's a good way to continue the Lightning engagement that's happening on my page, with, like the mentions blowing up. So I did, our friends at BTC Ven,
mm-hmm.
Jerry Brito over there, they accept Lightning they have two projects. They have a mesh network project that they accept Lightning for, and they have a humanitarian aid project, which is like food, water, charity, education. And if you donate with Lightning up to a total of, I think I said 6 million Satoshis, I will match, if you post the confirmation under my tweet, I will match your donation. So we got like 10 people did it or something like that, which is pretty nice.
Damn.
Some guy donated 17 cents, so I matched his 17 cent, 5,000 Satoshis, matched it.
Damn, dude. Look at you doing good things all week.
I thought it was a good way to test out Lightning Network. Like, if you need someone to send it to, you know?
Yeah, send it, yeah.
Venezuela, might as well send them the 17 cents.
Yeah. They certainly need it more than we do. Anything else interesting in that episode that caught your eye or your ear?
It was a really good episode. Everyone should listen to it. I mean, it's three Venezuelans on the episode. And Peter he wanted to get it out right away, so he didn't do any ads or anything, so it's an easy listen.
Boss. Staying on Lightning Network. Not that we were fully on it there, but Koala Studios, I got an email earlier this week to test their Lightning chess game. I did, and it was actually a really cool experience. So to explain sort of the onboarding UX flow, basically clicked a button, created an account, and had to jot down an account private key, basically, that'll let me sort of recover my account if I ever downloaded it on another computer or something like that. So that took a little bit to write it down and then make sure I had written down perfectly. And then from there, basically the onboarding was seamless. Didn't ask for my name. Didn't ask for anything. Basically, it was a Lightning wallet that I was able to quickly top off using my Casa extension. So I just opened my Casa extension, wrote in my password.
That's new too.
Yeah. And basically sent, I don't know, 100,000 Satoshis to the chess game and was able to play, hopped in, clicked a link, sent the link to Jack Mahler's actually, and played him. I believe I played him. I don't know if I played him. Somebody hopped on the link, and we wagered 475 Satoshis. I won due to a technicality. My opponent ran out of time, whoever it was.
He was on the plane, right?
He might have been.
He was flying. He was on a plane, I'm pretty sure.
He might have been.
I saw it on Twitter.
He was on the plane when he sent the lightning torch. I think that's what you're thinking about.
He was playing someone in chess on the plane.
Was he?
So he might have been playing you on the plane and you didn't even realize.
Maybe.
And then you played Hasu, right?
Then I played Hasu.
Hasu. But you guys, like, what'd you, like, it was like 30 Satoshis or something, right?
Hasu actually,
45 Satoshis.
Hasu's node was a little glitchy, so he wasn't able to fund his account in time, so he wasn't able to accept my 475 Satoshi wager. But I would have won that, too. So I'm 2-0 in Quala Chess. Maybe
we should play.
Maybe the best, may have the best record from a percentage standpoint on Quala Chess. So I'm just going to don myself the king of Quala Chess right now. If anybody wants to come at the throne.
Oh, I'm coming at the throne.
Download it.
I'm coming at the throne, but we have to get fucked up before we play. That's my rule. I'm very good at fucked up chess.
I'm not very good at chess at all. I'm lucky that my opponents didn't realize the clock aspect of it and ran out of time.
Yeah, I know. I saw your starting moves. They were really, really interesting.
Yeah. Chess is like a foreign language to me.
Jack is like dope at chess. Did you
Jack
see
Mahler's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack, yeah.
He like posted this tweet like analyzing his play-by-play moves or whatever.
Yeah, he came.
Just made me feel horrible at chess.
He came here to play. He came here on a chess scholarship and said, nah, this isn't the life for me. I'm going back to Chicago.
Turned down all that money. Those big chess winnings.
Yeah. No, but it was a cool experience. And it, like, the vision's there. You know, that's why I tweeted about it. The vision's there. The UX flow's there, it seems. Obviously, there's some kinks to figure out. The Lightning Network, it's... caveat this whole conversation with the Lightning Network's nowhere near complete or ready for the mainstream or fully battle tested. But with that being said, like, it was a really cool experience. You could just like see the vision. And I know Lightning Koala and his partner Andres have big plans to start including more games. Imagine if they add a card game, what could happen? And then like a bunch of people were asking if they could look in on games and sort of bet and wager on games as they're watching, as you would on Twitch or something like that. I don't even think you could do that on Twitch, but Twitch-like feature that will allow people to watch the game and then bet on it, and they said they're working on it. So
what's cool about... I'm super bullish on gaming with Bitcoin, specifically with Lightning. I think it's going to be the, especially as this younger generation grows up, as our generation even grows up, I think it's going to be the confluence of gaming and gambling. It's going to be the best of both. And it'll probably overtake like all other types of gambling at some point in the future. It's just a matter of time. Now, what's interesting about the Twitch betting is I hate QR codes. I like fucking hate QR codes. And of course, I fell in love with Bitcoin, and I've just been surrounded by QR codes for 6 years or whatever. With this particular situation, Twitch has blown up. I don't watch games on Twitch, but it has blown up.
I'll watch clips of people. Like, if somebody clips something on Twitch, I'll watch that.
They can easily put all these like betting things and stuff in because of QR codes. Right, like QR codes work perfectly.
Can you dump pictures in the chat in Twitch?
In like a streaming environment.
Yeah,
I don't know, but it's just a picture. Or even if you show it on the screen, right? True. You could show it on the screen.
Yeah, who's that dude who's
no one can stop you from showing it on the screen?
Who's that dude making the RPG game that allows you to buy things like on the go as you're watching?
That's
him
badass
play.
Too.
Yeah, so that's another game. Like, this dude's making an RPG game, basically a first person shooter game.
It's a third-person, yeah.
Third-person shooter game, there we go. But it's just a proof of concept right now. But basically, same scenario, Twitch-like scenario, where users can participate using Satoshis and the Lightning Network, basically allowing the viewers to interact with the game. They can buy zombies to come attack him, or buy him ammo or health or something like that, or send a Zerg after him.
Well, what's a nice little twist is, I think on that game, if you send enemies at him, the player gets the money, and if you buy him like lives and stuff, the developer gets the money.
Really?
So it's an interesting incentive thing.
Interesting.
And you can do very creative things, I think, with that. You can, you know, even just percentage it up on both sides.
Matthew, it feels like we're hitting a tipping point. I don't know. There's still a lot of Lightning FUD out there, though. Are all our Bitcoins going to get stuck on the Lightning Network, Matt?
Not if you don't put them there.
Yeah, again, we should also stress, like, only put a little bit on time. Don't be too reckless.
I'd like to think of myself as like a more technically proficient user, and I've already just assumed that I've lost all the money that I have on my Lightning node.
Yeah, me too.
That's the situation I'm operating under right now, so you should do the same.
Yeah. Do you think you'll ever get to a point where you don't have to operate under that assumption?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it's early days, and we got to flesh all this out. We got to bootstrap it.
Yeah. Speaking of assuming all the Bitcoin you have on Lightning Network is lost, I think you would also say that you assume all the Bitcoin you hold on exchanges is lost as well. That's one thing we advocate here, is learn how to use a personal wallet, a hardware wallet, paper wallet, whatever it may be. Teach yourself, become comfortable with it first, and then take custody of your Bitcoin if possible. Obviously, we've been reminded starkly the last couple of weeks with the Quadriga CX debacle. We don't know what's going on.
Do you think he's dead?
I don't know. I'm going back and forth.
I think he's dead and someone else has the keys and pretending they don't have the keys, whether it's like a family or friend or a coworker or something. Someone has the keys and is pretending that he died with them.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's my guess.
That was my sneeze.
But either way, the weird part is that we haven't seen the addresses for the exchange.
I know Lorenz been doing some forensic research on it. I don't know how far he's gotten or how much information he has. So you can go to his page and see what wallets he's tracked down on OXT.me. But what this incident, we've already talked about this. I believe we talked about it last week. But what this incident sort of brings to the forefront and it should remind all of us is, like, Bitcoin gives us the ability to audit exchange reserves. So we should be demanding from exchanges that they prove that they have the Bitcoin that they say they do and prove that they are not fractionally reserved. And this is something that a lot of people have been harping on for years. Like, it's technically possible with Bitcoin. I would argue that most people are not aware of this, therefore aren't demanding it. But in a situation like this Quadriga CX debacle sort of highlights the need for these types of functionalities. And luckily for the market, Blockstream released an open source product this week, a proof of reserves product that exchanges can use to give their customers peace of mind and prove that they have reserves on hand when asked or when need be.
So it was already possible to do proof of reserves, but Blockstream's tool makes it easier for them to do it in a safe way.
Yes.
I think Kraken was doing it a couple of years ago.
Yes, I think Kraken was doing it and nobody was asking. Like,
and
nobody
then they
was
stopped,
using it.
Right?
Yeah, because nobody was using it. That's why.
And I'm pretty sure Mex uses separate addresses for people, but don't quote me on that. I know Bitfinex did, and that's what caused them to get hacked, but they had like kind of a proof of reserves type of system in place. Either way, it still doesn't stop from fractional reserve necessarily, because they might not have the USD balances they say they have.
That's interesting. Very good point.
Altcoins aren't going to support a lot of these things. Is there like a safe way to do Ethereum multisig or something? I don't even know if that's the case. So you still have all these other holes. You should, no matter what, we should absolutely demand proof of reserves for ETFs and stuff like that too, because it's possible and they should provide it. But you should still, no matter what, if you're using a custodial service, just assume that any morning you wake up, like, that could be gone. They could take that from you.
Yeah. It was interesting. Barstool wrote a couple articles on the Quadriga CX debacle. A lot of people still don't get Bitcoin in the mainstream.
It got us a lot of press.
It did.
I had so many people text me like, oh my God, this, did you get fucked? This dude died and lost $190 million. And I was like, and every response I sent was, he might not even be dead. But the, like, the shrug emoji was my response every time someone.
No, but it's like, we've been through this a couple times. Like, when Mt. Gox went down, like, everybody's like, oh, I heard Bitcoin failed, dude. It's like, Mt. Gox is, like, hard to explain, but we're going through it again, and it seems the same assumptions are floating around this time around as well.
That's why this Jack Torch thing is such a big deal, because, like, think about the headlines. They were running with their, like, typical FUD bullshit bear market headlines. You know, Bitcoin's dead, it's going to zero, Hamas uses Bitcoin, the Bitcoin CEO died and lost all the Bitcoin. And then all of a sudden it was Jack Dorsey, I have enough Bitcoin, I'm taking the torch, I'm using it on Twitter, sending it around the world. Like,
going on Bitcoin podcasts.
Such fucking good press.
Right?
Just broke their FUD.
Yeah.
At least for a little bit.
At least for a little bit. It was a good...
The fog is cleared.
The fog is cleared. A lot of hopium in this bear market. The fog is cleared. And the fog is cleared. The first half of this podcast, Freaks, we've got multiple ad reads this time around on this episode of Rabbit Hole Recap. Second sponsor today is our friends Honeyminer. They've been around too. Honeyminer, Max for Linux in particular. They just came out with a new Linux product recently. All of you Linux freaks out there that want to, an easy way to earn Bitcoin using your Linux hardware or GPUs in particular, go to honeyminer.com or stackingsats.com. We actually made a special URL for our referral link. It's stackingsats.com. You can check that out. Zero fees, no account required. Bitcoin pays out every 2 hours, and profitability is about 10% above market value. Compatible with Ubuntu 16.04, Ubuntu 18.04, and CentOS 7. Get started now at honeyminer.com/labs. That's honeyminer.com/labs, or go to StackingSats and check it out. StackingSats.com. Check it out that way. Hit them up on Twitter @GetHoneyMiner, on Telegram t.me/HoneyMiner. And they have a very active Twitter and Telegram presence, so you can definitely find them at those two places. HoneyMiner, good friends of the pod and the bent. Easy way to earn Bitcoin if you don't want to buy it, if you don't want to spend dollars directly for it. You can spend computing power for it.
They take your graphics card and they mine the most profitable shitcoin, and then they auto dump it for Bitcoin, and you get paid in Satoshis. It's fantastic. It's
very fantastic. So check
StackingSats.com.
Go check them out. Especially if you're a Linux user, you've been patiently waiting for their Linux implementation.
Yeah, the Linux implementation has no fees. Yeah. The other one has, they take a cut.
Yeah.
And if you use a referral link, then we get a cut of their cut. It's not like it charges you more money.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about charging more money, Zcash inflation bug. Was it exploited?
The problem isn't whether or not it was exploited. The problem is that we'll never know for sure if it was.
Yeah, so they fucked up.
They sat on this news. They
Six
sat on
months?
This for 11, I thought.
11 months? Maybe. Yeah, I could be wrong. They sat on it for a considerable amount of time.
Like, four people knew about it in, like, the Zcash company inner circle.
Yeah,
you could just inflate Zcash on a whim.
Yeah. And this is something Peter Todd's been warning about for years and be getting lambasted for on Twitter in particular. May have been vindicated, but it's interesting. The I don't want to say whitewashing, but it seems like people are trying to gloss
it's
over
it's not
this
a
fence.
Bullish news story. This is
right?
Not, like, some people are saying, like, oh, this makes me so much more bullish on Zcash. Like, fuck you, man. It's not bullish. This is, like, worst case scenario. They even said in their blog before they, like, tried to diminish the impact, the title of the blog post is, like, worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Or at least Zuku's tweet, is he said the words worst case scenario. And then they just tried to dismiss it the actual blog post.
Can you jump into the technicals of the inflation bug at all, or in particular? Does it have to do with the trusted setup or something after it?
I'm not positive. Part of the issue is that all this shit is super complicated, and that's why they've had the bug in the first place. But the key takeaway is that, you know, they have shielded they have shielded Zcash and they have non-shielded Zcash. And you can inflate in the shielded pool, which is, remember when we were talking about their recent sapling upgrade, we mentioned that it was interesting that they were forcing all the people that were already shielded to go unshielded and then reshield. That's why, because they'll know if more shielded come out than had went in to do the transition to the new
address structure.
Yeah, the new address structure. If it has to go to transparent before it can go shielded again. And that's why they did it, because they're auditing it as it goes through.
Yeah.
So basically, if you have shielded Zcash right now, you should really be rushing for the exits, right? You should be trying to get out before, presumably, the inflated coins become obvious. If there are inflated coins, we'd only know once it passes through that audit.
Yeah, what if somebody just sends like 800 million Zcash to an address? One day it could happen. Who knows?
Well, so I don't think someone can exploit it now, for what it's worth. Since they did the sapling upgrade, no one can exploit it fresh.
Okay.
So after, that's why they say they disclosed it now. But like, this is like a perfect case. Like, so these four people, I'm pretty sure they all live in America. They all work for the Zcash company. The Zcash company has rich American investors. It's based in America. It's based in Colorado, I'm pretty sure. If the U.S., you can't launch a privacy coin that's centralized in the United States. Like, did the Snowden leaks tell us nothing? Like, the U.S. government is not against pressuring their own citizens, their own companies into complying with their demands, right? So, like, imagine, like, right now, Zcash is probably not really on their radar, right? But let's say for some reason, which we don't think is going to happen, I think this is like the nail in the coffin for Zcash. I was already super bearish on Zcash.
I was already super suspicious of Zcash.
But let's say they survive in 10 years, right? And they're super big and people are using it for private transactions all over the place. Like, this is exactly the type of bug that the U.S. government pressuring those four people that knew about it would be able to compromise, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly the type of situation they would do.
Yeah. So is this a case study in centralized governments and authority, or
and experimental tech?
And experimental tech.
And privacy on layer one.
Yes. Ooh, this is actually...
Right?
Yeah, this is actually a conversation we had earlier.
It's like
earlier.
Three different things.
Yeah, so we had a very good conversation earlier. I actually had this conversation last night. I had the pleasure of meeting Alex Gladstein from the Human Rights Foundation. He's in town. Got dinner last night with him and a couple of other Bitcoiners, and the topic of privacy at the protocol level came up, and it's an interesting one. It's very nuanced too, and I think it's definitely a debate that's going to need to be had. So the question is, do we want complete fungibility at the protocol level? And a lot of people are starting to realize probably not.
I mean, I would say that there needs to be a way to always be able to audit the supply.
Yes.
So it's a balancing act.
It's a balancing act. And would you agree that like this, the amount of the degree of fungibility is on a spectrum?
I think there's a difference between not knowing how many Bitcoin there are versus not knowing if it's my Bitcoin or Marty's Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need it to be so that you can't tell if it's... The privacy guarantees need to be strong enough that if whatever Bitcoin user goes to buy some coffee or goes... Of course, they use the coffee analogy. Goes to buy a Lambo or goes to sell on Coinbase. Like, all their transaction history should not be linked to them. They should be able to safely spend their Bitcoin or send their Bitcoin to someone and not worry about them being able to find all this other fucking information.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you need to be able to audit the supply, and you have to balance those two things. And part of the reason why I've always said, I've said two things with Zcash. Zcash is one of the only altcoins that isn't as much of a net benefit. Like, I say that altcoins aren't really bad for Bitcoin. They're just bad for the people who speculate on them. But with Zcash, like, it's kind of questionable because if they're trying to push out other privacy coins, privacy technology from the market to have, like, a government-friendly one, it's kind of an attack vector to the whole privacy sector. But with Zcash, like, this is a perfect example of where we have altcoins that, like the Zcash proponents wanted to put this shit in Bitcoin, right? Like, this is a perfect example where they just fuck around and learn all this shit for us. And if for some reason in 10 years we all think, like, Snarks are, like, the biggest fucking deal, they're awesome and fully fleshed out and tested and we trust them, whatever, then you could always add that into some kind of Bitcoin compatibility, right? Whether yeah. that's a true hard fork or whether that's sidechain or layer whatever two or whatever it is. So they're testing it out for us, and Bitcoin isn't at risk. Like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Very interesting to see, though. Just beware. Be aware. People will market these things as foolproof, and later find out they're not as foolproof as previously thought.
I feel like Zcash's price hasn't suffered much, though.
I haven't been paying attention much.
Yeah, neither have I, though. I don't know. Actually, I just talked out of my ass. It might have suffered.
Yeah.
I think it hit all-time lows, though, so...
Speaking of price pumps, Litecoin pumping pretty hard today, 30%.
Charlie is literally just pulling the same exact playbook he pulled the last two times. And it should be noted, I'm sorry, I'm just like a little deflated about it. So Marty told me to speak up. It should be noted that...
Confidential transactions?
Oh, if we have turned... And we don't pass the bottom, you know, I'm knocking on wood, that Charlie's top call when he said I sold, and if you're not willing to wait till $20, that Litecoin falls to $20, like, you should sell too. Like, Litecoin, I'm pretty sure Litecoin's USD bottom was $22. So if that truly was the bottom, that will, as much as I just despise Charlie, that would be, like, the most badass call ever.
Dude.
Like, he would have just called it fucking perfectly. And then he literally, right after it hit 22, he was like, we're going to do privacy. We're going to do confidential transactions.
Teaming up with Beam.
Yeah, they teamed up with Beam today, which kind of, like, sprungboard the... And he keeps tweeting about it. He has millions of followers. Like,
yeah. Moral hazard? Is it moral hazard? Are we here to be moral authorities?
I just, at this point, it's like, Litecoin's not a threat to Bitcoin. I don't speculate in Litecoin. I think it's absolutely worthless. And it's just, I don't know. It's just not worth the time. Because it can't threaten Bitcoin, right? But, like, I think at the end of the day, like, Litecoin even fails, like, the altcoin marketers playbook because they don't even have any differentiation, right? It's just...
Dude, confidential transactions.
A clone of Bitcoin with all the same issues and...
Beam partnership, dude. Beam partnership, man.
Are they also partnered with, like, that tokens pay or something for the bank? They, like, bought half a bank or something like that.
Dude, they bought half a bank. They're differentiated, value. Dude.
They're getting good at the marketing. They're trying the Tron approach.
That hot Beam partnership. Be on the lookout for that. Charlie, making trades. Speaking of trades, you're now going to be allowed to trade or get equities exposure via Bitcoin on Abra. What did they just announce? They just came out with basically a derivatives exchange that you can get exposure to via Bitcoin? CFPDs, correct?
Yeah, but to the user, they just think they're trading, like, Apple stock or something,
yeah.
Right?
They're essentially derivatives, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're, like, doing, like, hedging formulas and stuff to even it out.
Yeah. Not apparently, there are a lot of people on Twitter giving Abra flack, not even giving them flack or just pointing out that this is very similar to what one broker did, and one broker was running a similar operation, got shut down by the SEC. Was it the SEC or...
I think it was the SEC.
Or the other alphabet soups.
I think it was the SEC.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and one broker famously, it was all Bitcoin only, didn't have KYC. Abra is also Bitcoin, doesn't have KYC. They're actually using two of two multisig. So basically, like, they can't take your money, But like, you can't take your money either. Like, neither of you have custody. You have to together. You give custody. And they, I think they want to make it 2 of 3 with an arbiter or like an arbitration situation.
Yeah.
Independent arbitration or whatever. They're going to have to implement KYC at some point soon. Otherwise they're going to get shut down. They like have some kind of like regulatory arbitrage, like loophole type thing going on. Because it's a 2 of 2 multi-sig, like they're not going to get away with that. So be on the lookout here. If you do use the service, it could be very much like a Polo situation, Poloniex situation. We've seen it happen on multiple exchanges where they actually implement the KYC while your funds are already on the exchange or on Abra. So, like, you're in the 2 of 2 multi-sig. Yeah, I guess they don't have custody, but they say you can't even withdraw unless you do KYC yourself on your account.
Yeah. I've got Bill lined up to come on the pod in a couple weeks too, so I'm going to talk to him about that, and yeah, we'll see. We'll get Bill's perspective and Abra's perspective and what they're doing. I mean,
well, like he's not going to say that, right? Like they could be operating completely legally, right? But it's not in the spirit of the law, so eventually they're going to like the U.S. government doesn't want people anonymously trading equities. Like, they just don't want that. So whether or not they're like whatever they're doing legally got them around it doesn't mean shit in my mind, right? But you know, we'll see what he says. Maybe by that time they'll already have KYC, who knows.
We'll see. I met Bill in Miami briefly a few weeks ago. Very nice man.
But it is, I'm sure he's a nice dude, but still, like, it does add a value prop even with KYC if you live in places where you can't get exposure to U.S. equities.
Yeah, because it lets you trade at like very small amounts, right?
I mean, not only that, I think the process in some places in the world, the process of getting exposure to like something like Apple or something, you know, some of these big stocks, like these big equities, like, you just can't do it easily. Like, it's a really complicated process, or it's not possible at all. And, you know, so it does go hand in hand with Bitcoin as, like, a liberating technology. Even if they have, like even one broker, which was fully custodial, sketchy bucket shop exchange, like, goes hand in hand with the Bitcoin as a liberating, censorship-resistant money, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. We'll see how much traction it gets. I don't really have demand for this product in particular right now. I'm not a big trader, so.
Yeah, I mean, I just use TD Ameritrade.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to.
But we'll see. I'm interested. I'm pumped to talk to Bill in a couple weeks. That's all we had on the docket, but I want to get your thoughts on the Green New Deal. Or the New Green Deal. What is it?
Oh, I had a Matt Kavelanid, our Twitter buddy. He said Bitcoin's the Green New Deal, which I fucking loved. I thought that was fucking fire.
It's scary, man. I don't want to say it's scary, but it is an ambitious new deal. Seems to come with a lot of overarching taxation.
I just
schemes.
I think that. You know, I actually haven't looked that much into it because Bitcoin allows me to just zone out politics because it gives me the ability to opt out. So I know that, like, not all my wealth is in their hands, and it's just a super liberating feeling. But I did catch that there's going to be that they want like super high taxes on the wealthy. And I like sent out a tweet today, like, the easiest way to pump Bitcoin's price is to tell the wealthy that you want to take their money, because I've been in rooms where, like, I'm like pitching like super rich people to invest in Bitcoin. And a lot of them don't talk to me now because of the run up we had and everything, but whatever. That argument would have been way easier after this, because it's literally just like, Matt, why should I buy some Bitcoin? And it's wealth insurance, right? You know, it's, if this stuff happens, like, you'll have some portion of your wealth that can't be seized, and they can immediately see the like, they're being educated on the value prop with these kind of these kind of antics.
Yeah. Very, very ambitious. If you're unwilling to work, there'll be support for you, apparently, in the Green New Deal. That actually pissed me off a little bit.
They use the words unwilling to work?
Yes. Might have been a mistake. Who knows? Maybe not the perfect wording for...
I'm sure they meant, like, incapable or whatever.
No, they said incapable or unwilling.
Wow.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I try and... I only try and bring up politics when it connects into Bitcoin.
Yeah, I thought this connected into
Bitcoin. It does connect into Bitcoin. I mean, I think we should call it, like, today is the AOC pump. Like, I think...
We went through this debate. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the article about local Bitcoins, though. Like,
I don't know about that. That's like only, I feel like only
a niche.
The niche Bitcoiners are like talking about that, at least yet, right?
Matthew,
like,
I wrote about it in the Bent today, and some of the most esteemed investors in the world read the Bent. All right, so they all heard. They might have went and ran and bought Bitcoin immediately after.
I mean, look, you're not wrong about that. For me, that's like the stuff I really like to see, right? Is the, like, the local Bitcoin's analysis that we saw today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's Bitcoin truly doing what we're hoping Bitcoin will do, being used in the whole reason we do all these trade-offs is so people in those situations could use Bitcoin, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point.
But it could also, like, Jack could have helped a little bit. We're also, you know, down 90%, 95%, whatever it is.
Not that far, but close to it. But we're winning our bet right now.
There you go. Knock on wood. Marty has nice wood floors, so I can just knock right on the floor. It's really convenient.
Stop doxing my apartment.
I sent Murad a direct message today that was just hi, and he hasn't responded.
He's a busy man.
He's a busy man.
Yeah, so that's all we got today. Actually, we'll end it with one more topic, but before we get to that, we have our last sponsor today, third sponsor today. I'm actually pumped that the sponsor is on with us and they're at the fact that they exist, because I love seeing this stuff. 21 Lectures. This episode is supported by 21 Lectures. 21 Lectures' mission is to bring more developers to the Bitcoin ecosystem with in-person courses. Lectured by world-renowned Bitcoin and Lightning developers, 21 Lectures courses teach participants the fundamentals to work with blockchain technologies. We cover cryptography, the structure of transactions and blocks and how they are chained, smart contract language and Lightning protocol, as well as software and toolkits to develop on top of the Bitcoin blockchain and Lightning. To learn more, visit 21lectures.com. That's 21lectures.com. The numbers 21lectures.com. Pumped to see the proliferation of these Bitcoin classes, the spreading of Bitcoin knowledge. We need more eyes, particularly on the testing and review process on the Bitcoin code base. So the more the merrier. If you're a coder out there that listens to us two idiots and you want to learn about Bitcoin, go to 21lectures.com. Shout out to the Switzerland Bitcoin Foundation, I bet, or I believe that's who sponsors it. Zappos behind this company as well.
Badass.
And I believe Christian Decker is one of the Lightning teachers, so very good resource to have. You got a topic you want to know? Anything outside of Bitcoin in the real world? Should we talk about, like, non-nerd internet money stuff?
Did you do anything interesting for the Super Bowl?
Nothing. Nothing too interesting. Had a couple family members up for lunch, and they went back down to Philly. We slow-cooked a pork butt and watched it here alone while drinking some wine.
Very. Did you bet on it?
No, I'm not a big sports gambler.
Yeah, we talked about that last episode.
Never caught the bug.
Did you watch a halftime show?
I did.
It was pretty horrible.
It was pretty terrible.
There was a drone swarm.
Yeah, there was.
In the...
Peace and love. Or one love, excuse me.
One of the things that I think about a lot is we have... drone swarm technology coupled with the way you combat drones mostly nowadays is you jam their signal. They're all commanded remotely, right? But if you have autonomous drones, you get around that because they're just thinking for themselves. They're not receiving a signal. And on top of that, if you have autonomous drones that you use like off-the-shelf parts with, there you have tons of plausible deniability. So you can just engage in like ridiculous attacks with no, like very making it very difficult to trace. So that's just something you should put in your threat model.
Yeah, I think we saw the first instance of this in Yemen, was it? Or Pakistan? Where a military parade got attacked with a rogue drone made by off the counterparts.
No, wasn't that in Venezuela?
It happened in Venezuela too. It happened in both.
But I think that was just controlled. That wasn't like autonomous, right? Like it gets crazy when the drone's actually making the decisions, when there's not a person behind it.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to end on this crazy dystopian future topic, but...
Well, we can end on a happier topic because I see behind you that you also received a bit piggy to test out.
Yes. I've yet to reach out to James to give him the review on how incredible I think it is.
We both have these little pigs on our desk. These little 3D printed pigs.
Yeah, they're Bitcoin piggy banks.
And they come with an open dime. And that Twitter account is at BitPiggies.
Yeah.
They're pretty cute.
I believe it's P-I-G-G-Y-S. I don't believe it's I-E-S, is it?
No, it's Y-S.
Yeah.
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 That's not how you spell piggies.
No. BTC piggies with a Y.
There you go.
Yeah, really cool. James, the founder, is a really cool dude. Hit us up. Has a very good story. He sent like a very nice letter with the piggy bank.
Yeah, what's nice is he sends it with an open dime, so... He doesn't know the private key, but he's able to send you a sticker of the public key. You can just put the public key wherever. Then you can just load it up with Satoshis for your kids. Yeah. It's a nice way to teach them, you know, how to save in Bitcoin early on. And it's just a cute little pig.
Yeah. Very good decoration. Very good conversation starter. Just started one right there.
I actually, before I left my office today, I had it like sitting on my desk, like super nice. And then I was like, Matt, this is a huge OPSEC failure. And I like threw it in my drawer before I left. Because like, you don't want someone to just walk in and be like, okay, like.
This guy owns Bitcoin.
But if you have it in your kids' bedrooms, whatever.
That's why I'm a big fan of Raw Dog and the laptops.
Yeah, no stickers. I'm not a sticker man.
Yeah.
We also got another piece of merch from a fan from Crypto Brecky. He sent us.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Crypto Brecky.
He sent us wallets that say Dirty Fiat on them, and they're pretty badass.
They are pretty badass. Hell yeah.
I was really happy with the quality. I was surprised. Both of those are not paid ads by any means. They just sent us free shit. So just keep that in mind. And I like both of them.
Was that a bribe to the freaks? Badass. Were you just trying to bribe the freaks out there?
No, I'm not. I just, they sent us free shit. I like them as people.
There's no free ads. Yeah, no free ads. We're big no free ads company. Good. Okay. No free ads.
No free ads. Okay.
We're monetizing.
Well, asked me for topics, you know, I'm going to.
Less free ads we ever give out.
Shill the nice free products we received.
I'm kidding. No, these are dope products. Shout out to Crypto Brecky and James DiRuccio, I believe his last name is.
I just know his display name of Fartface.
Yeah, Fartface.
Just display for the longest time. I think it still is, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he cleaned it up now that he's all professional.
He doesn't have to. He can be silly in your
own I like Fartface.
I do too.
It's a brand now.
Yeah. You age
Friday for
you. Age, you don't get old, all right? I'm going to stay young forever.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoy your Friday. It's beautiful here in Brooklyn.
Dude, I'm going to get...
Impeccable.
Today's going to be such a good day. This is pretty good scotch. We have new scotch
here. Very good scotch.
Do you want to try and pronounce it? I picked it out because the bottle looked nice on the shelf, and I was feeling good.
Brukladich? Brukladich?
Brukladich?
Brukladich, yeah.
Brukladich.
I don't know.
It won the 2000. Is that 2009 it was made, or did it win an award?
I think that might be the year.
But it's a
10-year
single malt scotch whiskey. It's very nice.
Very nice.
Cool bottle.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to be able to take a sip today.
It's actually pretty smooth.
Yeah.
The only reason I bought a new type of scotch because you had that awesome tweet last night where you're like, recording in whiskey in 20 hours. It's like, Marty's down to go.
Yeah.
Like, we're ready.
I think I tweeted that out before I went out last night.
No, you tweeted it at like 11 p.m. You're already drunk. That was the problem.
Oh, damn. Shit.
That was the problem.
I ate it on the subway steps last night. If it's raining in New York City, don't try to skip steps when you're running.
Oh, yeah, that
steps.
Always happens. That happens to the best of us.
Ruined a nice pair of white Vans. Rest in peace. Freaks, been an incredible week. It's beautiful here. I got a buddy from college on the way in town. I'm pretty pumped for this weekend. I hope you guys are as pumped for the weekend as we are. And, hey, just enjoy life. You only got one of them, you know?
Just stop being dicks to each other. It eats me up inside. It eats me up inside to see the family all fighting.
Let's bring it together. You know what? Just make an effort to say something nice to somebody this weekend.
And just remember that, like, if you can't agree with someone...
I'm going to try myself to. I'm guilty myself.
The nice thing about this space is if you don't agree with someone and you get into, like, this long circular argument with them and neither of you agree, like, at the end of the day... Like, the winner of that argument is going to make more money than the other person. Like, that's what it is. So just enjoy that aspect. You know, if you both have skin in the game, if they don't have skin in the game, then you're definitely winning the bet. But that's what it is.
True.
Just you do you.
Yeah. Shout out to our sponsors, BlockFi, Honey Miner, and 21 Lectures. First three read pod. Free quality sponsors, though. Check them out if you get a chance. Shout out to Matt again for handing off the torch to a Twitter legend. The Twitter legend.
The Twitter founder.
The Twitter founder, I know. We will be interviewing him in a few weeks, so be on the lookout for that.
How the fuck did I pull that off? I don't even fucking know, man.
I don't know either, but I'm happy you did. Peace and love, freaks.
Cheers.